Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord. Lift up your hands to the Lord, my friends. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Father, we adore you. We lift our hands before you. We adore. Sing it again. Father, I adore you. I adore you. I lift my hands before you. Sing it again. Testify. I have a father. He calls me his own. He will never, never, never leave me. He'll never leave. No matter where I go. Your hands to the Lord and testify. He knows my name. We exalt your name today. We are honored, we are privileged to call you our Father. Our Father who dwells in heaven, whose name is hallowed all over the earth. Thank you, Father, for who you are to us. And thank you for everything that you do in our lives as our Father. You provide for us. You supply our needs. You protect us. You love us even when we are so unlovable. You show us compassion and mercy. You demonstrate your love to us over and over again. And on this special Father's Day, we declare that you are the greatest Father ever. We worship you and bless your name today. And this morning on Father's Day, we believe that you have a message for us. We ask in the name of Jesus, let your Holy Spirit cause your word to come alive to us. May we hear everything that your Spirit is saying to us today. And I pray in the name of Jesus, let our lives become better because of your word that is coming forth this morning. I give you praise, I give you glory, I give you honor in Jesus' mighty name. And let the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
Give Jesus a big hand clap. God bless you, and you may be seated. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today is Father's Day. And it's a special day that has been set aside to recognize, to appreciate, to honor and celebrate all fathers. And so today, on behalf of the leadership and the members of Shepherd's Fold Restoration Family, we want to wish Happy Father's Day to all fathers, father figures, and husbands in the house today.
Papa, today is your day. Enjoy your day.
I can't believe you. I am talking, you are cutting me short. What was I even saying? Now, let me share some two important truths with you. One of them is that God is referred to as our Heavenly Father, not our Heavenly Mother. Tell your neighbor, Pastor is saying something like, what do we call him? Heavenly Father. Then another important truth that you should know is that in the Bible, fathers are referred to 852 times. And then mothers are referred to
226
times. So, what does it say to you? What does it tell you about fathers? It tells you that fathers and mothers are very important, especially fathers. Put your hands together for Jesus. So this morning, I want to invite and ask all fathers to rise to their feet wherever they are seated. And we want to acknowledge you, fathers, father figures, husbands, stand to your feet. We want to acknowledge you, celebrate you, and thank God for your life. Congregation, put your hands together for all the fathers today. Clap, 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 clap for the fathers. Clap for the fathers. Keep clapping and celebrate them. Tell them God bless you, fathers. Tell them Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh. This is a song in honor of all fathers.
For the gift of life.
Oh, fathers, give the Lord a little dance. You swing to the right, swing to the left, swing to the right, Swing to the left. All right. The women are laughing at you that you don't know how to dance. Happy Father's Day. Put your hands together again for the fathers. Hallelujah. Keep standing, fathers. I haven't finished with you. So, fathers, on behalf of the church, we salute you this morning.
Amen.
And we want to thank God for your lives. We want to thank God for the love, for the support, and for the guidance that you give to the family. Now, it is very clear to us that your work as fathers is not easy.
Yes.
Your responsibility as fathers, as father figures, as husbands, is very challenging. Yeah. And the truth is, sometimes we miss it. And sometimes we don't get it right. And as fathers, we understand that you make mistakes and you fail sometimes. But the church wants you to understand that we love you.
Amen.
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 And we appreciate every effort you put in towards becoming a good father.
Amen.
So today we pray for you, Jesus, that may our Heavenly Father fill you with his own fatherly abilities.
Amen.
And help you to excel, Amen, in your role and your responsibility as fathers.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say amen.
Amen.
So at the tail end of the service, I would invite you all forward so I can pray for you and ask God to be gracious to you and bless you. Another round of applause for all fathers. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. All right. So for the little time that we have left, I'm going to share a message with you that I have titled A Father's Greatest Legacy. A Father's Greatest Legacy. Let's look at two scriptures to start off with. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Proverbs 13:22. This is what the Bible says. Good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren. But the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. I would like to draw your attention to the first part. Good people leave an inheritance or a legacy for their children's children. And good people here, of course, applies to good fathers. So when you are a good father, you leave a legacy for your children and for generations after them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at another scripture, Psalms 112:1-3. It says, praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy. And their good deeds will last forever. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. A father's greatest legacy. Now, that word legacy, what does it really mean? A legacy is simply something that is passed on. Something that is passed on. And what readily comes to mind when you talk about legacy are things like money, property, land, houses, assets, inheritance. So that is what will easily come to your mind when we talk about legacies. And my prayer for all of us,
Jesus,
you know, especially fathers,
is
that may God give to us the grace and the ability to leave great legacies,
amen,
for our children.
Amen.
I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
May we leave powerful inheritances for our children and for generations after them. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
My prayer is that by the time we exit this world,
Jesus,
may we not leave debts,
amen,
and troubles for our children,
amen,
and our children's children.
Amen.
Can I hear your amen again?
Amen.
And this is my prayer for you. This week, I think I saw a post that my friend Reverend Anaya put up on his Facebook wall. It's a story of a man who was walking by and he saw that there was a notice in front of a restaurant. And the notice was this: come in and eat as much as you can eat, because your children will pay the bill for you. So in other words, you can walk in and eat everything you want. You don't have to pay. Your children after you will come and pay. The guy was excited, so he walked in and he ate like he has never eaten before. He ate and went for more and ate and went, so much so that when he opens his mouth, the food begins to come out. At the point, he told himself that enough. He took a toothpick and was clearing the food debris from in between his teeth. As he was there and saying to himself, life is good, one of the waiters walked to him with a bill. And he looked at it. And he said, what is the meaning of this? When I came, before I entered, I saw a notice out there that it's my children who will come to pay for what I've eaten today. So why have you brought this to me? And the guy said, oh, your grandfather left this bill some time ago. He also came here. And he came to eat. And he left this bill for you. And so you have to pay. So you see a story of debts having been passed on from generation to generation. May this story never apply to you in this life. And may you live a good inheritance,
amen,
for your children and,
amen,
your children's,
amen,
children. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
So I did say that a legacy is simply something that is passed on. But it's important to recognize that legacy is not just material things. A legacy can be your faith. You can pass on your faith to your children. You can pass on your ethics and core values to your children. Values like good character, truthfulness, honor, integrity, love, and so on and so forth. So understand that legacy can be in two dimensions. Legacy can be material, and a legacy can be immaterial. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, a father's legacy, therefore, is simply what he leaves for his children and generations after him. A father's legacy is what he leaves for his children and generations after him. It is important for every father to recognize that you will leave a lasting mark on your children, either intentionally or unintentionally. Whatever it is, whichever type of father you turn out to be, there is a mark that you will leave on your children. You may leave that mark intentionally, or you may leave that mark unintentionally. And that is why, as fathers, we have to be very, very careful and take our work very seriously. Can I hear an amen from all fathers in the house? Now, there's an important question that we are trying to ask ourselves through today's sermon. That really, what is the greatest legacy that a father can bestow upon his children? What do you think? I like to involve you in my preaching. And I like to know what you're thinking. So, what kind of expectations do you have? Or would you have? What's that? A house. That's the legacy you want from your father. You think that that's the greatest legacy. A house. Somebody says, education. Education. Abu, I saw you raise your hand as if you are in a classroom. Yes, please. A good name. Wow. A good name. Fear of the Lord. Pastor Elvis says a huge sum of money. And that's how he did his hand. A huge sum of money. In dollars. Not in cedis. You don't like your country currency again. You like a currency that is running and not one that is what? Anything else? Somebody said a Dutch passport. A Dutch passport is the greatest legacy. What did he say? Houses. A lot of houses. Lands. He's into lands, eh? All right. It's nice to hear all these legacies that you have talked about. And everything that you've said is important. And our great legacies. But this morning, I want to say something to you that I don't want you to ever forget. Especially, I'm saying this to fathers. I am convinced that the greatest legacy that a father can leave his children is godliness. The greatest legacy that a father can leave for his children and for generations after him is godliness. Let's go back to Psalms 112, verse 1 to 3 again. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. So here he's talking about those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his instructions. What single word can you use to describe these people? That they are what? Godly. They are godly. They are godly. So that means that they practice godliness. It continues. Their children will be successful everywhere. Whose children will be successful everywhere? Say that again. Godly people, or those who practice godliness, or those who transmit godliness to their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. So it is talking about godly people. And it is saying that an entire generation of godly people will be blessed because of them or through them. Now, how did the generations after them become godly? The logical answer is that they passed on or transmitted godliness to them. Because people don't just become godly. It doesn't just happen like that. People are influenced. And people are affected. And people are imparted. And that is what makes them godly. So he says their children will be successful everywhere. And an entire generation of godly people will be blessed. Then it says they themselves will be wealthy. And their good deeds will last forever.
That'll be good to see you.
Their good deeds will last forever. So you can see from this scripture that godliness comes with rewards and blessings. So in the last sentence we looked at in verse 3 of Psalms 112, it says that the godly people, or those who practice godliness, they will be wealthy. They will prosper. They will do well, and their good deeds will last forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But another important thing that it says is that their children will be successful everywhere. Godly people, their children, and generations after them, they will do well. They will flourish. And they will be successful everywhere. How is that going to happen? It is because godliness has been transmitted unto them by their predecessor, by their father, by their progenitor, the one who came before them. So again, I say to you that if you ask me what is the greatest legacy that a father can bequeath unto his child or daughter, I would say it is godliness. Leave them houses. Leave them cars. Leave them lands. Ensure that they have a good education. Make sure that they don't lack anything that leads to a good life right here. But in all you do, understand this, that the greatest legacy that you can give to your children and generations after them is godliness. Everybody say godliness. I'm sure the question you're asking yourself right now is, what does it mean? What does godliness mean? What does it really mean? So what is godliness? I'll explain to you. Godliness is the awareness and the acknowledgement of God in your life. Godliness is the awareness and the acknowledgement of God in your life. When a person is godly, he recognizes God and he acknowledges God in his life. So as he moves about, as he goes up and down, he has that awareness of the presence of God. And not just that, but he acknowledges God in his life. Anybody who positions himself in this way is said to be godly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Godliness means to recognize that God is sovereign and rules over every aspect of life. Godliness is to recognize that God is sovereign and he rules over every aspect of life. If you meet anybody who accepts or recognizes the sovereignty of God, and that there is a God on a throne in heaven above who rules in every aspect of life, then you can say that that person is godly or is practicing godliness. Number
3.
Godliness is fearing or revering God. Godliness is fearing or revering God. That means to regard God with great respect and to esteem him highly. Fear here is not referring to dread. That's not what it is. God doesn't want us to dread him. But God wants us to esteem him highly and revere him and greatly respect him in this life. And whenever that is there, we say that godliness is at work. Number 4, godliness has to do with the determination and commitment to honor God in all of one's conduct. It is the determination and commitment to honor God in all of one's conduct. Anybody who has such an intention is practicing godliness. And number 5, godliness is conforming to the laws and the wishes of God. Godliness is conforming to the laws and wishes of God. And so when a father bestows godliness as a legacy to his son or daughter, it means that he has brought up that child to be aware of the presence of God and acknowledge the presence of God in his or her life. And ladies and gentlemen, that's a great legacy. And that is the greatest legacy. When a father bestows godliness as a legacy unto his child, it means he has taught that child to recognize that God is sovereign. And he rules over every aspect of life. And so you don't move through life as if everything depends on you. You don't move through life as if you have power and control over everything. That's not true. Because as you move through life, you will meet something that you don't have control over. You will see something that you've never encountered before. You will go through situations that will make you see that what you thought you are not. And if your father has left a legacy of godliness for you, as you live your life, you recognize the sovereignty of God. That you are not on your own. That there is a God out there who is looking out for you. And that if you yield and surrender to Him, He would ensure that every aspect of your life goes well. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When a father leaves a legacy of godliness for his child, it means that he's trained that child to fear God and to revere Him. When a father leaves a legacy of godliness for his child, it means that he has imparted into that child the determination and commitment to honor God in all he or she does. And when a father leaves a legacy of godliness for his child, he has taught the child to strive to conform to the laws and the wishes of God. Somebody say godliness. Say it again, godliness. Say it one more time, godliness. So why is godliness the greatest legacy? Number one, godliness is the right path to a proper focus in this life. Godliness is the right path to a proper focus in this life. If you want to be focused in this life, and to think correctly, and to think straight, and to be able to live right, then the path that leads to that is godliness. Proverbs 22 verse 6. Proverbs 22 verse 6. It says, direct your children unto the right path. King James says, train up a child in the way that he should go. It continues and says, and when they are older, they will not leave it. When they are older, they will not leave it. Godliness is certainly a right path. That when you leave it as a legacy or inheritance for your children and your children's children, what is going to happen is that they will not be distracted. And they will not fall off. But what's going to happen to them is that they will keep a proper focus. And they will live in a way that brings honor and brings glory. And in fact, if they even go off, because that legacy is there and the seeds have been planted and the foundation has been laid, some way, somehow, they will find their way back onto that path. Hallelujah. So godliness is the greatest legacy because it is the right path to proper focus in this life. Why is godliness the greatest legacy? Godliness has benefits in this life and beyond. Godliness has benefits in this life and beyond. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better. And look at what it says after that. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. Promising benefits in this life and in the life to come. So physical training is good. And physical training is not just about bodily exercise. There are things that parents train their children to do. I mean, when we're growing up, I don't know whether these books exist. There's something, etiquettes for boys and girls.
Ane.
Does it exist?
Ane.
Yeah. So this is like a training manual to train boys and girls on how to behave, what to do, and what not to do.
So
when you are growing up and you are growing up with responsible parents, they will train you on things to do and things not to do. They will train you how to talk. So there are times when you open your mouth to say certain things and your father or your mother will shout, "Hey, men kasa!" Yeah. They will show you how to walk. So if you're a young lady, they'll tell you that you don't just walk. Your legs about like that. Or if you're a young lady, you don't drag your feet. Why are you laughing? Somebody's laughing. I don't know why she's laughing. You know, tell them. So when you are walking, they'll tell you, "Hey, a lady doesn't walk like that." That's why there are some schools that are better than others.
Mm-hmm.
There are some schools, they don't mind how you walk. You can walk any way you want to walk. But there are other schools. I think the best example is Wesley Girls. I mean, they are too known, but bless God for their lives. Yes. But they are trained how to walk. How to sit. LIC does that also. Yeah. How to walk and how to sit. As a young lady, when you walk, your hands must swing. It must swing a little, and there must be some small shakings in the body. So there are times some girls have spoken to say that you walk like a boy. Change the way you walk. Because boys, we don't mind anything. No problem. It's not an issue at all. But if you're a lady and you walk like that, there's a problem. So you can be trained on how to walk. It's physical training. Even how to eat. Because some of you, if it takes you to certain places, you disgrace us. Look, one of the best pieces of advice that you can be given in this life is that before you go for a party, eat.
Don't
go and put your last on the party food. You may easily disgrace yourself. Do you see? Yeah. You didn't know, is that not so?
Yeah.
After all, party has sent to come. I wish you good luck. But what we need to say? No. So these are physical trainings. And the Bible says physical training is good. But look at what it says. But training for godliness is much better. Training for godliness is much better. So don't refrain from training your sons and your daughters in a good way to behave, in a good way to act. But always remember that training in godliness, where you create an awareness in them, awareness of God, acknowledgement of God, recognizing the sovereignty of God, honoring God, serving Him. Don't leave that out, because that's the greatest legacy you can give to them.
I'm
telling you. Don't just take them for swimming classes. Don't just take them to the tennis courts to learn how to play tennis. Don't just take them for violin classes. Don't just take them for French classes. Because you want your daughter to learn how to speak French. Look, what I just said, say it in French. Yeah. I said, don't just train your daughters, your sons, and show them how to speak French. Teach them on godliness. Say it in French.
Uh-huh. Donc, pasteur dit que on doit entraîner notre enfant. Le pasteur dit on doit entraîner notre enfant d'aimer Dieu. On doit entraîner notre enfant d'aimer Dieu. Oui.
Oui, oui. So
we should train out. We should train our children to love God.
Yes. Pastor James, the thing we don't understand. So whether it's correct or not, we'll take it like that. Is that not so? It's correct. How do you know? Don't bring yourself. And Pastor Elvis, the only thing he could say was, we. So train them, oh, train them in all this. There's nothing wrong with it. And don't get me wrong. All these things that we train our children to do, there's nothing wrong with it. But I'm pointing out something to you. If you train them to do all these things, and you leave out godliness, what you have is a deficient child. And it's a child who will fail in this life. Because I tell you, the way life is, the way life is, what keeps us on a certain path and what leads us to a certain blessing in this life is godliness. Recognizing God, acknowledging Him, serving Him, and living for Him. So in all you do, don't leave out the godliness element, because it is the greatest legacy that you can give to your children. And how do you impart it to them? There are a number of things through your personal worship and devotion. Is the first one. Personally, you pray. Personally, you read the Bible. Personally, you fast. Personally, you worship. Personally, you praise God. That's how to impart that legacy of godliness to your children. It's not about calling them to come and sit down so that you show them how you do those things. But as you're doing them, they can see. And something is transmitted to them. At a point, you may just be there in that room worshiping, and the child will just come in and begin to do what you are doing. Yeah. It means that something has been transmitted, something has been passed on. Your personal worship and devotion to God. So don't just be a father who is just there, no spirituality at all. Spirituality means to zero.
Zero.
No spirituality. You are making a mistake. Number two, through public worship and devotion. Because that one is also important. You must be active in church. You must come regularly to church. You must carry the whole family to church. Don't just come and drop them at church and go away. Because that is not bad. But there is a better arrangement. If you want to pass on that great legacy of godliness to your children, you yourself be involved in public worship and devotion. And when you come to church like this, worship God from the depth of your heart. Worship Him, because your child is watching. Your daughter is also watching. And fathers, sometimes you are too stiff. Hello?
Hi.
Am I saying something to fathers? I said sometimes you are too stiff. You can't dance. You can't shout to the Lord. And many times when people are dancing in the front, it's just the women you see. That's why God loves them like that. But God loves the men also. And men, we are changing from today.
Amen.
I said we are changing from today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Later on in the day, Pastor Elvis will raise a praise song, and it will be for men alone. Uh-huh. And we'll show you the women that we do with day. Do you think it's a good idea? Clap hands for all fathers. That's how you pass on that legacy to your children. Personal service and devotion. Public service and devotion. Serving in the house of God. You may think that you are just doing something, but your children observe these things, and something is passed on to them, because godliness also has to do with being active in the service of God. Don't just be happy to come to church and go without doing anything. Don't do that.
Yes, I do.
Because I'm telling you, it is one of the things that will ensure that godliness is passed on to your children. One of the ways you pass godliness on to your children is through your generous giving to support the things of God. Because as they see you giving so much to support the house of God, it teaches them something. It teaches them about giving what God has given to you back to God. When they see you generous in helping the poor and the deprived in society, it teaches them something important about godliness. So by these things, you pass on godliness to your children. I want to say in closing, and I'm re-emphasizing what I said earlier, make sure that you leave a good inheritance for your children's children. Material things. Do your best so that your children can go to good schools. Do your best so that your children can have the good things of this life. But of everything that you give to your children, make sure that godliness is the number one legacy that you are bequeathing to them.
Amen. Amen.
Because godliness has great benefits, not just for this life, but for the life to come. I pray for all fathers,
Jesus,
that the Holy Spirit will help us.
Amen.
To leave this great inheritance, this great legacy for our children and for generations after.
Amen.
We are not perfect. We have flaws. We have shortcomings.
You seem to know.
As fathers. But thank God that there is a helper called the Holy Spirit. If we yield to Him, and if we surrender to Him, He will help us deal with our weaknesses. And He will empower us to move on a new path, which is a path of godliness. It is not too late for you, fathers. I said it is not too late for you, fathers, to set off on the path where you will leave a good legacy for your children's children. And today may help from above come your way.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Rise to your feet and let us close. God bless you, my friends. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I would like to pray for you, my friend. And I'm going to pray for you based on the answer that you give me to this question. Are you born again? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you surrendered your life to Him? If you haven't, then there's a very important decision that you need to take for this life, which is to invite Jesus to be Lord of your life and to reign in your heart. Today, I want to extend that invitation to you. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you want to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want you to lift up your right hand wherever you are, and I'm going to pray for you. If you're watching us and you need Jesus, right there in your room, you can lift up your hand. I assure you, God can see you. And He's actually waiting for you to take the step. With your hand lifted, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. I have realized that I don't really know you. But today, I want to change that. I open my heart to you and I receive Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Wash me with your precious blood. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will live for you for the rest of my life. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' mighty name. And let everybody say, Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.